The following podcast is intended for mature audiences. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Naked Wizard Media.
Thank you for downloading Smashing the Dome, the Under the Dome Hate Watch podcast. I'm Kerry. I'm your host, and I'm joined by Sherry and Kirk. Hello, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
So we are halfway through season one.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to talk about episode 7, Imperfect Circles, or egg-shaped things.
Or it may relate to something else that happens in this episode that seems to be undone later in the later episodes.
Oh,
we'll get to that.
Okay,
well,
you're going to bring that up because I may have failed to notice that.
Oh, okay.
But see, because I haven't watched the other episodes lately.
Yeah, well, I haven't really lately, but I noticed that when the next episode comes up that brings up this particular topic, there's some incongruency going on.
Well, let us know when it comes up.
Yes, right. I will.
So this episode is directed by Miguel Sapochnik. I don't know if that's right, and I don't care. And written by Caitlin Parrish, and it aired August 5th, 2013. One thing I'm noticing, and Sherry's noticing the same thing, upon reviewing these episodes for this podcast, is how bad season two is. Because we're watching it, and we're going, like, this episode is, again, not one of the really, really bad ones. And I don't recall episode two having any signs of life.
No, there weren't any bright spots.
No, not if there were. Maybe we'll see them when we get to season two, but somehow I doubt it. There may have been bright moments.
Yeah.
But I don't recall any episodes where I went, well, that one wasn't bad. Now, you got to love the first shot of this episode because nice misdirection, Nori. I like that. She made a creepy vibe right from the beginning.
She's lucky she didn't get busted in the chops. You know, some people are like that when they wake up.
Good thing she wasn't trying to wake up Wolverine.
Yeah. It would have been her last wake up.
This is a little off topic. How do you wake up Wolverine?
Far away.
with a broom handle?
With one of those... air horns there. What do you call them there? Megaphone.
Yeah, there you go.
Megaphone.
There you go.
Or get one of those crazy machines that have like 100 steps to do one tiny.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. A little feather tickles them.
One of those Rube Goldberg or whatever.
Rube Goldberg.
Yeah. And then, hey ho, Barbie and Julie are in bed. Well, that escalated quickly.
Yeah. And right now I put myself in Barbie's shoes and I'm like, This is exactly what he's thinking. He's like, I can't believe it. I killed her husband. I didn't even tell her. And I'm totally sleeping with her. Oh, now the neighbor knows I'm sleeping with her too.
Yeah. Oh, the neighbor.
I'm just terrible.
Watching this episode for the podcast, as soon as I saw her, my reaction was, oh, shit. The pregnant girl episode. Harriet and her yogurt.
As soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, someone's going to die.
Yeah. Now, this is just a little quick observation. And now I can relate. But the shot of Big Jim pulling Junior through the house, and I just thought there was just a moment there. It would look hilarious because you have like 4'5" Big Jim and he's pulling 6-foot Junior. But I must say, even to this day, if my 5'1" mother, if I'm in trouble with her,
yeah,
and she's telling me off, it's hilarious because I'm 6'2", and it would be a hilarious scene. But I just found that I had a chuckle there.
Yeah.
And then you're wondering what's going on in this scene because is Big Jim going to be a good guy in this episode?
Yeah,
because he's like, you know. Basically warning Junior and telling Junior not
to kick him out.
We all know his ulterior motives. He's trying to keep
things so he looks like a good guy.
He's trying to keep Angie quiet. Yeah.
Don't want to wreck his reputation.
This is true. You can't ruin Big Jim's reputation. He's Big Jim.
Yeah. And if you try to, he'll kill you.
But he reveals.
But don't say that. He'll kill you if you say that.
He reveals something interesting here. Rose's body is still in the Sweetbriar's kitchen. I'll have the eggs over easy. Hold the corpse, please.
Yeah.
So many health code violations.
Yeah. Yes. Could you just imagine the health code guy going, oh my God, really? And, really?
Well, the health inspector's probably outside of the dome, so
yeah,
they're all good. And secondly, Big Jim reveals something else. He's a terrible businessman. Because he says, I've been lending her money all these years to keep the restaurant going, which means that it's not very good financially.
So what
makes
do you
much,
do? What
it makes
do you
much
do?
More sense.
Any good businessman would.
I'll buy the failing business and not change a thing.
Yeah. I'll leave her in charge.
Just the whole dialogue. And it was because I didn't catch it at first. Sherry and I were watching it, and we forgot to do our dome count. So we had to go back almost a half hour in and start watching it again. And then when that line came up, I said, wait a second. So he bought the restaurant because he kept lending her money to keep it going. That makes a hell of a lot of sense. But hey, what am I? I'm just a podcaster, and like I don't own all kinds of businesses, so maybe that's what you do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Buy up all the failing businesses and just let them go on.
Tax write off.
Tax write off.
There we go. We figured it out.
Yeah. That's how he's going to sell his launderer's drugs. Through his failing business.
And then Harriet has a vision of her husband, which begs the question, does anyone care?
Yeah, there's a lot of does anyone care going on in this episode.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then, of course, you have Linda and Junior arming themselves to the teeth to go find a couple of country bumpkins.
Yeah.
Inside an area that they cannot escape from.
They may be related to Crocodile Dundee. So who knows? Maybe they're just taking all precautions.
They could be dangerous. Yeah. Well, they've already proven to be dangerous against the middle-aged restaurant owner by herself in a restaurant. Not by herself, accompanied by a young teenage girl.
Who almost gets raped. Yeah, just almost for gets being raped. There.
They fared well against those two ladies.
Yeah.
Not so much when Barbie walked in, though.
No.
You know, like a fully grown male.
Yeah.
They had some problems
first
after that.
Strip off.
But he's Barbie, though.
Yeah.
See. Mm.
I love that.
I mean, just how tough his name sounds. So, you know, you know what to expect. As soon as you hear a male character, and his name's Barbie, he's got to be a tough guy.
Yeah. Well, true enough.
And then, now, Sherry brought this up. Julia has Harriet's water breaks after her vision there, and then...
After she touches the dome?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then Julia brings her into the house. Wouldn't a medical facility be...
Your first thought straight away.
Your water broke.
Well, yeah, clinic. And she's freaking out because it's too early, which really it's not, but...
Six weeks out. She's a little early, but not
you can get by on that.
Yeah, not dangerously early.
Yeah.
You
should have a palate, and your brain should be developed enough.
Now, when Angie goes to the Sweetbriar Rose, when she's walking in, I'm going, okay, well, the body's in the freezer, right? It's at least in the freezer. No,
yeah.
It's sitting on the fucking prep table.
Yeah.
Like, just...
Okay, well, I guess we got to throw that out. No, like,
for fuck's sakes, that at least put it in the freezer. Come on, they can't have that much. Oh wait, I was gonna say they can't have that much food in there, but in subsequent episodes, apparently they do because they just keep feeding the town.
They just turn propane into food.
Yes,
that's what because they have lots of propane.
Then there must be a replicator in there somewhere.
Yeah,
and you know that Ollie, he has the best well in the world.
Yeah.
Because he can provide water for the entire town, and it won't go dry anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which appears to be in the middle of sort of summer, which I don't know about Chester's Mill, but around here that's like the kind of the dry season.
Yeah.
But we discover, where's Jim's propane?
Yeah, Ollie hints towards some doings a transpiring around his propane yard.
Some doings. And just a quick note too, and it's a two word note here. Joe's horny. Moving on.
Yeah.
I uh the little fight scene here between Big Jim and Jawline there. I don't know the guy's name. I just call him Jawline.
I called him the armed pugilist.
Rock McGroin Punch.
Rock McGroin. That's a better one. I'll cross mine out.
Something very noticeable occurs in that fight. I don't know if you picked it out, Kirk. Big Jim's shirt fits.
It does.
It's still horrible because it's like pink-ish.
And it's not a nice color.
No.
But yeah. It does fit him. It's not skin tight.
Yeah.
Yes. None of the buttons are straining.
there's no big gaps in between the buttons.
You can see his undershirt. Yeah. Yeah. easily.
It's gotta be, it has to be a character trait. It can't be either that or the wardrobe person sucks. This'll fit him. I'm going on, like, is Dean Norris going, this is going on TV.
Yeah. I haven't been eating any hot dogs lately, and still the clothes don't fit.
Yes. I have a question for you, Kirk. Just your opinion on something. And it has to do with the scene between Linda and Junior in the car. Now, if you're a police officer and you deputize an untrained person to be your deputy.
No, well, it's always a good idea.
When pursuing fugitives with this deputy, is it a good idea to inform said deputy that the fugitives that you're pursuing have recently attempted to rape his girlfriend?
Oh, that's always a good idea. That's no conflict of interest there. See, because, you know, in all the movies, whenever somebody's partner gets killed, they always put that cop on the case.
That couldn't introduce any unstable elements.
No.
No, not at all. That's another little check there for Super Cop Linda. Good judgment call.
By the way, they tried to lay the Slim Jim to your girlfriend there.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And why are the Dundees stealing gas? Did I miss something? Are they just stealing it to have it?
I guess so.
Because they're not going to get away anywhere.
They're like big fires.
They're like big fires. Must. And right there, my next note was, should have taken Julia's hybrid. They just could have drove slow.
They didn't have the go bag. And that go bag was clearly not transferable.
We already passed that.
What was the point?
You noticed how Joe was going to find the... whatever might be at the center.
The nucleus? Yes,
the center nucleus of the dome is where he was intending to go. And that seemed to be, that's he was pretty sure where he was when they found, what will be later described, I guess, in this little session. Just remember that, because in later episodes, somebody figures out the center of the dome too.
Yes.
And it's
nowhere near that forest. Well, as a matter of fact, it's in the exact center of town.
Yeah.
Which imagine is exactly that. Where the school is.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
So did the...
But nothing bad comes remember of that,
it. I remembered that the center kept moving depending on where the plot required it to be.
Yes. Well, you know.
It's the dome.
It's the dome. Yeah. The dome changes the center
classic
of
dome.
Town.
Classic
which
dome.
Which seems very interesting. And another thing. Wouldn't you think... When does... This whole thing that happened with the military, like totally no communication on the inside that's happened to this point, like basically no communication. Why?
Yeah.
Why? No, wouldn't it make sense to say, hey, have you searched everywhere in there to see if there's something inside there with you? You know, maybe at the center of this perfectly round object.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have popped into one person?
You'd think at some point there would have been like little signs outside going, okay, well, we're out here. You guys are in there, so could you maybe look for some stuff?
Anything out of
the ordinary? You know, like a large hump in the center of the woods here in the town? No?
Okay. Seems a little weak that it took this long for them to think, hey, let's go to the center.
Now, it's only been a week, but if you didn't know any better, it would be like years.
Well,
if you watched this
I think
this
that would
show.
Be the first thing I did.
Yeah, let's... We almost look around. I don't know.
Did it just appear here or is there something making it? And if there's something making it, where would it be? Where in theory would there be? If there was a bubble and it was being made by something and there was only one place you could look and you were inside the bubble, where would you look? I'm only going to give you one choice. Only one choice.
I'm going to go around the edges and touch the edge of
the thing. No, the exact north point of the wall.
See if I can find a door.
Yeah.
I will give this episode a little bit of credit, though. It misdirected me on a misdirection. Figure that out. I thought for a second that we were going to have the main character deliver the baby cliche.
Oh.
But then they went to Alice, and I was like, oh, I guess not.
You missed something else that I just have to point out. That before the whole baby delivery dealy, mm-hmm. that extremely hot and sensual lesbian scene.
Actually, hang on now. No, actually, that's coming up. That's not yet.
Well, if they delivered the baby, she's
no, the baby's not delivered yet. Okay. Just whenever Barbie shows up when they're getting gas jacked. And they're in the car. She's like, the baby's coming. I thought, okay, here we go. Barbie's going to deliver the baby right there in the car. And,
oh, yes.
Now, we do have a comment on that scene later. But yeah, I think you're going to go a comical way. We're going another way. But first, and this is not a compliment to the show, because this is not how it's supposed to be. How sad is it that Joe and Nori's love story is more compelling than Barbie and Julia's? Because it is at this point.
It's more believable, for sure.
More believable, yeah. I don't know.
Better chemistry.
Secondly, the one scene between Nori's parents is also a more compelling love story than Barbie and Julia's. And I must point out, bravo to the show for that scene, because there are still a lot of television shows that are afraid to explore that. Now, Kirk, you're going to ruin the entire moment.
That was the most unsatisfying lesbian scene I've ever seen in my life. I'm just saying.
Well, it's not.
I'm just saying.
Sorry, it's not made by Wicked Pictures. They're not Vivid Girls.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm just saying. I wasn't satisfied.
But in seriousness, though, I would believe their relationship over Barbie and Julia's. Barbie's and Julia's just seem so convoluted and.
You beat my husband up and he ran away? Okay, put your dick in me.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Because you're hot,
pretty much.
Because you're hot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you do? What happens when two hot people get together? They immediately have sex, right? Like,
that's what I've learned from all the porno videos.
It's like a handshake, and then missionary.
Sup?
What'd you say your name was again? Doesn't matter. You'd think, unless the dome wants it to be found, you'd think that egg would have been hidden a little better. Just a tad better. Leaves.
And some dirt.
Now, did you catch the cool little... I don't think it was intentional, but it looked cool for a split second when she's pouring the water over the mini dome. For just a second, it looked like an eye whenever the
dirt was cleared away. Yeah.
They didn't mean to do that. There's no way they meant to do that.
That would be way too cool.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Lucky accident.
Now, I must say, I did forget, which is easy with this show, like a scene 5 minutes earlier, because when Harriet's having the baby and she says that, she can't have it with people behaving like this, I had totally forgotten about the recent gas jacking, like the very recent gas jacking. And I'm like, what? You just had like a rain love fest the week before, or technically yesterday. Everybody was high-fiving, but I guess having Rose murdered, and then the same people, steal your gas.
At gunpoint.
Who would want to bring a baby into a world where people steal gas?
Yeah. Hey, wait, that happens here.
Yes. That's another point there. I mean, is everybody in the town really behaving that badly yet?
The rain cleared most of the trouble up.
Yeah, yeah. But has anybody really fallen off the deep end other than those two Dundee idiots?
And Junior?
But Junior's, knows yet. The only few people that know about Angie is Junior, Angie, and Big Jim, right?
So yeah.
I just don't know where her observations are. Like the Chester's Mill is so terrible that how could you bring a child into this kind of world? I don't know. She could ask some people in some other areas of the world, that bring children in similar situations.
possibly even worse.
That are not caused by a dome. But it's America, so.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
And now I'm confused with Ollie here.
Ollie,
yeah. What does Ollie want? Is it just wants power? He wants to be Big Jim?
That's what it seems like.
I don't think it's even the power. He just wants to one-up Big Jim.
Because he hates him so much that he has to...
Today, he hates him.
Yeah.
So he has to steal his friggin' propane. And, so that he holds all the cards. I guess that's what he wants to do here.
I don't know if you caught this, Kirk. Whenever Big Jim went out to the propane with a Rock McGroin punch there when he was guarding, and Rock said... That key's not going to do you any good. And then it cut to the shot of, like, the chain on the ground. Like, it was so menacing.
Yeah.
And there was just a musical cue there. It was incredible.
Speaking of menacing, Jeb and Cooter there, the two Dundee boys. They're pretty mad. And then, now usually it's the good victim and the bad stalker, but we had the falling down cliche. One of them fell when he was being chased by Junior.
Yeah.
Why can't people, when they're scared, why can't they run in anything? TV, film, they can't run.
I don't know what it is.
First of all, if something's chasing me, I'm not looking over my shoulder every 10 seconds. Because and you run faster. And my balance
is going to be the best it ever was.
Yeah.
Ever in my entire life.
Now see, and now here's where the misdirection misdirected me, because the main character does deliver the baby cliche.
Yeah.
Because Alice just takes a turn for the worse.
Yeah. Life comes in, life goes out. Another cliche.
Mm-hmm. Also, Big Jim is a bad drunk. Blowing shit up and stuff.
Yeah. Clean that blood up.
Clean that blood up.
Because I'm a jerk.
Well, he owned the place. Come on now. Oh, can't have blood. How's he supposed to serve breakfast the next day? Just fucking... move her hand over there and just fucking
just put a carpet over it.
Yeah, it's all good.
Just put a carpet down over it.
Oh wait, she's buried by this point. But he didn't know that.
Just put newspaper on the prep table. It's good enough.
It's all good.
Eventually it'll wear away. Nobody will notice it.
Once you cook it, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's true. Any bacteria will be cooked away, so it's all good.
Any pathogens, whatever.
No problem.
It's all good. You're eating a bit of people every day anyway. There's like dust going in your mouth. You're eating their skin. Yeah. You see that person beside you? Yeah, you're eating their skin right now.
That's true. So, will you be in agreement with me here, guys? This baby being born under the dome. This will be a major plot point.
For sure.
That will develop. Also, combined with the loss of Nori's mom and... You know,
the baby will probably be like the savior.
Yeah, it'll be something about this baby will be
special.
It's obvious,
something.
Right?
Yeah, because
why else would they put that into an episode?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she said she was leading to it. She said the dome did something to her baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, it did something to my baby.
You know they're going to revisit that
for sure.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, there's still season 3.
There is. Yeah, but then. If she comes back, first of all, no one's going to remember who the hell Harriet is. They'll be like, who's this broad?
Yeah.
Why does she have a kid who's probably going to be like 10 by then? Been out of the dome a month, kid's 10. Because
little Nikki syndrome. So
dome wants it.
Yeah. So, of course. You know what? I just always keep on forgetting about that totally plausible excuse. The dome wants it that way.
I just keep on forgetting about it
for some reason. I don't know. Yeah. Is it bogus?
For fear of insulting people, but I don't really care. It's like a certain, you know, religious, when something good happens, well, God is all powerful and, when something bad happens, he works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
So, and if you try to explain, as a non-religious person, for me to try to explain my point of view to a religious person is like trying to tell a drunk guy that he can't come in the bar.
Or that he's had too many.
That's right. Because that it's that whole see because when you have the debate, when you have especially the science faith debate, the faith people have way more ammunition than the science people. If you think, but not really ammunition, but they have the fallback. Because no matter what you say, the fallback is, well, that's God's plan, or the in this case the dome's plan. So anybody that tries to explain things, like you know, season two we get Rebecca. But even she falls under a little bit of the dome once. But she did represent the science side of it a little bit better than anybody in this season. But it's when something like this, when people have faith in something, real faith, you're never going to win the argument ever, because what are you going to say to them that's going to convince them?
Yeah,
true. So, and I don't know. Season two, it doesn't really expand on it, but I guess Big Jim's kind of gets a little bit into the dome's plan for him and whatnot.
Julia as well.
Yes. They don't get much into the science faith debate, but season three is still it's still possible. And I don't know if I like that in this series. I'm not down yet with this dome being sentient. I don't know if I dig that or not. I can honestly say at this point I don't.
Yeah.
Now, if things happen later on, maybe I might change my mind. But is it bad that I'm longing for the alien? Sorry, spoiler alert. Is it bad that I'm longing for the alien explanation in the book?
Yeah.
Just something nice and simple. Reasonable? Just nice and simple. Yeah. No sentient dome, just alien technology.
Which is still pretty friggin' weak.
Now everyone that's reading the book's going, thanks, Carrie. Thanks.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have been listening.
It's a Stephen King novel. What'd you think it was going to be? Now, I want to get your opinion on something. Sherry and I did, we both were in agreement that despite all the shortcomings in this series, we did find that Alice's death was effective. It was meant to be impactful. And so far, I think it probably is the most impactful thing that's happened on the show. Kirk's laughing, so I don't know.
What did I write about that particular?
Come on, tell me you weren't tearing up, Kirk. Tell me you weren't tearing up.
Oh, yes. I said that Nori says goodbye to one of her moms, and I am not struck by any emotion whatsoever.
Okay, that's fair enough. But compared to everybody else on the show and everything else that's Rose's
okay,
death.
Well, okay, she maybe was maybe a little bit more important than anybody else, but.
It wasn't really her importance. It was the effect on Nori, is important.
To the story,
and just the whole like she brought a baby into the world, and then you know, see Sherry's passing me the tissues. And Sherry has to admit right here and now that she had a tear in her eye when we were watching.
I actually felt something, and I'm a cold hearted bitch.
Wow.
So I think it was genuinely moving.
I wanted to point my finger out and say, "Ha ha! Your mother's dead. She just died like minutes ago."
But that's just the way Kirk is, guys.
See, it's not your fault. I just hate people. Mm. Not you in general.
Not our listeners. Not our listeners. He loves our listeners.
Just the species.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was just I was in the right mood today to watch it. I don't remember feeling anything the first time.
Because we're more observant this time watching it for this podcast. I think it was effective. I think the scene was done well.
Yeah, it was well done. I was just I don't know. I don't feel any attachment
I think
to any of these.
The actress that plays Nori, I think she played it well, sort of the mix of sadness and anger, as anybody would.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you're thinking when she goes and touches the dome, you're thinking, well, it's going to bring her back or
something's going to happen.
And no, it's just she's dead. Again, season three is anything's possible.
Yeah.
And as we come to find out in this series, anybody can come back from the dead.
Yeah, it's worse than a game of Survivor. You never know. You don't even know who's out. You know, there's people that were there that are that you never even knew were there, and then they're coming back. So,
yeah. And the only other observation I have for the end of this episode is: does everyone live right next to this fucking thing? Because Julia lives right next to the dome. Joe's house is right next to the dome, apparently, because Nori runs out and touches it. I don't know. The dome seems awfully close to everyone.
I wonder what other show was very similar in that kind of respect, where maybe one central location was close to everywhere.
The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Again, another Simpsons reference on an Under the Dome podcast.
Maybe they just said, hey, Simpsons did it well. Maybe we'll just take some of their... dome is anywhere.
Are you meaning to tell me that there are some similarities between The Simpsons and Under the Dome?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well. I have a couple of observations. Well, okay, whenever we were at Joe's and at Julia's, whenever Harriet went out after she got her yogurt and saw her husband outside of the dome, you notice it... Everything grew back really well.
Oh, yeah. That devastation.
I think the houses missiles. Rebuilt themselves on the outside. Yeah. And yeah.
Well, if
you wouldn't have known a Moab had hit.
It depends.
Like yesterday.
It depends what side of the dome that hit on, though, right? Because it didn't hit right on the top.
Yeah.
It hit sort of not, on an angle. Yeah. So anything directly on the other side of the dome could theoretically have avoided a shockwave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have.
Theoretically.
I think just all their budget went on the fucking egg. we got to put purple lights on the egg. We don't have enough dough left over for the
wasteland outside.
The wasteland outside.
Yeah. Mm,
the egg needs purple lights or pink lights.
Yeah.
It needs pink lights.
Pink stars.
Pink streaks.
Pink stars are falling up. Yes.
You know what? That would have been cool if that, seizure thing would have actually meant something that you could figure out instead of it meaning like something stupid. Like
the pink stars are falling up. I think that phrase is meant to make like the audience go, ooh. The pink stars are rising would probably be even just as ominous and foreshadowing and creepy sounding.
Better with the language too.
A little bit better.
Sound as much
grammatically
like
speaking.
Well, they don't say falling up. They just say the pink stars are falling.
Doesn't one of them say falling up at some point?
I think
Junior says that they're falling up or something.
Oh well, maybe in the last one, whenever they were all going up from the lake.
Oh, possibly.
I don't know.
I'm sure I heard that somewhere in this series. The pink stars are falling up, so they're rising. Then, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Hmm.
Well,
or ascending.
Ascending, yeah.
And I like Ben, too.
Skater boy. His dialogue is ridiculous sometimes.
Yes, but he seems to be a nice guy.
See, he's a teenager, so whenever he sees somebody taking a drink of alcohol out of a bottle, he has to say chug.
Chug.
Or all teenagers say that.
Or when you're, helping someone bury someone that's close to them, you're always supposed to bring it up after you're done and mention how creepy it was. Yeah. And then say how cool it was after when the person takes offense to the creepy comment.
And how significant is he that we did not mention him until now in this podcast?
Well, you should have mentioned him whenever Junior came to the diner.
Why? Why? What's he going to do?
Yeah. He stood up. Really?
He did stand up, but it's significant.
Whenever Junior had the best line delivery.
Yes, that line was good.
You can go home now.
That was good. He did deliver that very, very good. Skater Ben did stand up and didn't want to leave and stuff, but I just didn't know it because we all know about his significance in season 2 and in upcoming episodes. He's a character that just sort of
is there.
But he goes away for like a long time.
Yeah.
Like this may be his final appearance. I'm not sure in season 1. I don't know. I forget, but I don't really even know what Joe's friend.
Yeah.
He's Joe's friend that Joe can bounce the exposition off of for the audience, but now Joe has Nori, so you don't need Ben anymore.
You got Nori, you don't need me no more.
Well, he shows up with the dog again, I think.
The dog?
The dog.
Is the dog seen again? Because he ran away.
Yeah, the next time there's another time they go to look for it, and they were using the dog. when they go out with redhead there. And was it just her? Or her and Barbie? They bring the dog with them because they were having trouble. Maybe the center moved again. Who knows?
Possible.
It's probably what happened.
Now, were there any scientific things? There were no scientific stuff, things in this episode, was there?
There's no science here.
There's no science
here. And please, please, if you found science, just put it back in the box. It has no place here. Not in this episode, okay? It's okay.
I thought maybe you were going to say something about the Joe's electron and nucleus reference or something.
Atoms have nuclei.
Yeah. I would be more thinking that if something is generating this and is generating it in all directions at the same intensity, it would probably be in the center.
Possibly.
That would be my...
That'd be the first place I'd look.
That would, I don't think I would have got to bed the first night. I would have been like, shit. Because...
Yeah, well, would anybody... dome came down.
But then finding the exact center in a 10 square mile... 10 square mile, 10 mile radius or a diameter. Was it 10? No, it was a diameter of 10 miles. So,
yeah.
That's tricky.
It's a good size area to
be
searching, but it's not like you have anything else to do.
Yeah. Your best bet would be to just push your back up against a dome, use a compass, and.
Not like you're going to go on a drive on a Sunday. what are we doing today? Well, normally it's our Sunday drive day, but. Let's look for the center of this thing.
Yeah.
Any other observations? No.
No.
Not as bad as it's going to get. But we're getting close to the lull. The Fight Club's got to be coming soon here.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are they? 4 days in now? I'd be fighting by now with random people.
That's going to be a fun one. Fight Club's going to be a fun one. Now, this episode was watched by 10.42 million viewers. Now,
all dissatisfied.
It got mixed.
All dissatisfied.
It got mixed reviews from critics and fans.
Well, you know what? Critics, honestly.
Well, yeah.
Whatever. Well, your opinion actually doesn't even count.
Now, it depends. There are some. Sherry and I are big fans of the AV Club. They seem to share our general views on society and.
Things of that nature. And stuff.
So we kind of like them. And Pajiba is another one that seems to have
Pajibas.
Pajiba.
Oh.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Pajiba. It's supposed to rhyme with vagina. That
sounds a lot like vagina, yeah.
It's supposed to rhyme with vagina, but I don't buy it.
Just because,
I think it's Pajiba.
Just because they're clever.
Oh, God.
Now, this goes to show you, though, this episode tied... For first in its time slot,
ouch.
And I know what you're at. I know what you're going to ask.
With
what incredible show must it have tied with? Carrie, what
reruns
show?
Of the Seinfeld reruns? Seinfeld?
No. What else but The Bachelorette?
Oh my God! I even forgot that was a show.
Ick.
That's how. You know what? Oh my God!
Television,
right? You know, all you people out there.
Network television.
I'm just shaking my head. That's all I can do. I'm not even going to talk to you anymore.
Network television is in a sad state. When those two shows tie for the tops in their time slot, there are some problems. Now, granted, I mean, Game of Thrones is never going to air on ABC or CBS. You know,
they're 2 a.m.
Yeah, they're restricted by because you know the network's got to be. All prim and proper, politically correct, and what have you. So, but
No boobs.
No boobs. But when I saw that Under the Dome and The Bachelorette, must have been a slow week.
Yeah, I wonder if you could correlate suicide rates.
Now, in all fairness, it was the season finale of season 9 of The Bachelorette. So the season finale, of course.
Wah.
You know.
Wah.
I think that's going to be our new call whenever something really cool happens on this show.
Wah.
I wonder if the audience can sense the sarcasm in that. Okay, well, that's official. That's another new thing for Smashing the Dome. When something really cool, and it has to be our definition of cool on the under the dome curve. That'll be the new. All right, Sherry, what's our dome and Chester's mill count?
Very low on the Chester's mill count. We only had two of those.
I know there were times in this episode I forgot where we were.
I know. I didn't know which town we were in. Where are we still there? 18 domes, though.
18 domes.
A lot of domes.
In 42 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, are we being picky, though? Because how many times do they say the word Enterprise on Star Trek? Probably not 18 times in an episode.
Yeah, but that was a good show. So
True. But
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes. Any of them would be better than this.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I was like...
Code of Honor? Yeah.
If I was just flipping through the channels and I had to pick between Under the Dome and probably any incarnation of Star Trek, I'd probably take the Star Trek.
Yeah.
Oh, Captain Kirk's in bed with another green woman. I'm in.
Yeah.
All right. Sherry, I need a Under the Dome rating on the curve.
3.5.
3.5.
I think, yeah.
Okay. You could tell folks that we really put a lot of research and effort into these ratings for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what my old ratings were, but I don't. So, 3.5.
All right, Kirk, what's yours?
Well,
remember the Under the Dome curve.
Wow, that hot lesbian scene's got me sweating still.
Kirk's thinking back to the WWE's Attitude Era with HLA.
Yeah,
he made him have flashbacks.
Jeez. Wow.
It was a pretty hot
put a season. Number on something that doesn't deserve a number whatsoever. It's so difficult.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
She's three, I guess.
Three. Yeah. I'm going to go with a 3.5 only because they attempted and sort of did do a dramatic scene.
Yeah.
Emotional scene. As far as the plot and everything else in the story, there were not a whole lot of dialogue snafus where you're just going, human beings don't say that. The dialogue was pretty okay. The plot was pretty okay. There wasn't other than Ollie's never ending well. It's all stuff that could have happened. Finding the egg, I know that's a little bit sci-fi-ish, but yeah, I'm gonna give it a 3.5. It tried, and now it. There's other times in this series where it tries and fails miserably. In this episode, it tried and it didn't fail. It at least made you think and made you curious about what was gonna happen next. At least. So now I wanted, before we sign off here, I was reading a person's review. And I want to ask Sherry. I have to ask Sherry this one because Kirk never watched this. But he noted the direct similarities between this episode and the episode of Lost, where Locke found the hatch out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Was it the Locke center of the island?
I think it was actually, wasn't it?
I don't think they ever.
No.
No.
Or was the center was the center of the island where that wheel was, where they could move the island?
Oh,
was that where the center was?
Oh my God!
Kirk's thinking, I gotta watch this show.
Wow, that's sweet. They got a wheel that can move an island. Yeah,
they do.
I could see the science popping out from there right now.
Oh no, you gotta throw science out the window when you watch Lost.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember how much I loved that show.
At first, yeah. Yeah, the early seasons were amazing.
It was kind of like, I do see the similarities in that scene, but Locke was losing it at that point because Boone had gotten crushed by the plane, right?
Well, he was just sort of pointing out like Locke and Boone go into the woods in this. It's Joe and Nori.
Yeah.
In Lost, the hatch was hidden. In Dome, the egg is hidden.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same impact because because Locke, whenever Boone was dying and Locke went back out there and then he was pounding on it on the hatch, and then the light came on.
Yeah.
And then that's how the episode ended. Yeah. Like, that was really powerful. You were like, oh my God, I got to watch this.
How long?
This one, the little pink stars started falling up in the egg, and then that was
the rising.
See, now, here's where I'm going to show you guys. Now, how long ago was it that you watched that particular episode of Lost?
I didn't start watching Lost right at the beginning, so it was probably about 2005 or 6, maybe.
And you can still remember details of that particular episode. And that's how many years now? 8 years?
Eight or nine, yeah.
And 8 years from now, are you going to remember anything about this goddamn show? I think not.
We will, because we do.
Paintings, those shitty paintings. We'll be sitting there going,
remember that podcast?
I'm ordering prints. I'm ordering prints of all those paintings.
Yeah. See, now this show has something that Lost did not have. Us talking about it, which will remain on iTunes and stuff, so you can go back 10 years from now and go, hey, yeah, some three people talked about that stupid Under the Dome show. Let's and they hated it, but they loved it.
Huh. Love to hate it.
Love to hate it. So there, it's one up Lost on that aspect that has us talking about it. Lost never had the fortune of having us do a podcast about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should do a Nikki and Paolo episode.
I was just going to ask you that. I was going to say, does the worst of Lost surpass the best of Under the Dome? I.e. Nikki and Paolo.
But the Nikki and Paolo episode was actually good.
Yes, it's true. True.
Which was crazy because they were appearing in those earlier episodes in season 3, and everyone's like, who in the fuck are these people? And then they would like show scenes like from earlier in the series, and Nikki and Paolo would be like in the background.
Yeah.
Like they kind of retconned. Yeah. Wow. It was really terribly done. But then they had an episode themselves where at the end they died. Yeah, which it was good.
They had an episode just to kill them off. Yeah. That's how much people hated them.
And the episode itself was actually pretty good. So that wasn't one of the worst episodes.
But I guess, okay, then I guess it would be later episodes of Lost when it started getting really weird.
No, I think the worst episodes would be somewhere in season 3, but I don't remember them.
The time travel stuff?
It was...
I'm a little foggy on what was in each season.
Yeah, I don't
remember.
Oh, yeah,
they time travel too.
I don't remember the specific... I don't remember the specific episodes, because I do remember it was somewhere in the third season before they had said, okay, we're doing 3 more seasons, mm-hmm, and then we're ending it, because then the writing really tightened up.
Yeah.
They didn't answer a fucking thing. They didn't tie up any loose ends after that.
But yeah, but I don't know. I think if a few years from now, someone were to say to me, you have to watch select episodes of Lost or select episodes of Under the Dome, I think I might still go with Lost.
I would probably go with Lost, and then as I remembered, oh yeah, this is that episode. Fuck this. I wouldn't want to watch it.
Whereas this series, you go, oh, that's this fucking series.
Yeah. It's hard to say one episode's worse or better than the one previous or after.
Oh, it'll be easy to say soon. It'll be really easy to say soon. And when season 2 rolls around, it'll be really easy to say.
The thing is, this show is so bad, but it's entertainingly bad.
Yes.
When Lost was bad, it was just...
It was bad.
It was bad.
It's like Macaulay Culkin. Entertainingly bad.
He's
not dead. Not dead.
No, I know. They had a death hoax of him recently there that had everybody, people up in arms. I'm like, he's not that kid anymore. That's Brandon Mir.
Who cares? You know what? Don't care. Don't, you know, not at all. Whether you're breathing or not, Mr. McCulkin, not concerned. Sorry.
Culkin, not McCulkin.
Yeah, Macaulay Culkin, whatever. Yeah, your name is,
it's his fault for having a name like that. Got me all tongue-tied, right?
Actually, I'm sick of those goddamn movies. Terrible.
They're not still making those stupid things with like other kids, are they?
Just killing them off.
I know they made... Did they make 3 with him? No, the first 2, they went with another kid.
Yeah.
And then was there a fourth one?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't...
I don't know. I don't have kids, so I always
laugh because you have all of these... Sorry for going off on a tangent in the middle of our Under the Dome podcast, but you have all these organizations that come down on these shows for being violent, having violence. And if you watch the Home Alone movies,
Yeah.
There's no way
almost that every those one of those thieves, scenes, those are thieves alive. Die. Yeah. Almost everyone.
It's like some of the most violent stuff you could ever imagine.
I think those movies are kind of like Looney Tunes, though. Like, you know how
Wile I don't care.
Looney Tunes.
No, but Wile E. Coyote keeps getting it. Wile E. Coyote yeah. would be dead like a million times,
yeah.
but
yeah.
he's not. So it's kind of like that.
Well, Looney Tunes is also racist. Meeting. So
not always.
Not always, but they had some famous.
Yeah. A little bit. Just a little bit.
There's always a little bit of racism in Looney Tunes. They yeah. just a little
just
bit.
Just enough to say, yeah. Yeah, he thinks he's better than that guy.
And they make fun of of people with speech impediments like in every episode because every single character has one.
Yeah.
Boy, we've covered Lost. We've covered Looney Tunes. We've covered. Is it just that this show's so Simpsons. Bad that we just don't want to talk about it? We got to talk yeah. about other things.
Oh, well. Perhaps things that bring joy, more joyful memories to us.
Don't yeah. worry though.
Like Home Alone.
Don't worry though. This show is going to get so bad real quick that we'll have all kinds of really funny material to talk about.
We'll get to that windmill.
That's why soon. we kind of had to like fill this one up because this episode was actually not that bad, so it was not a whole lot to laugh at. But it's coming. Our listeners gotta just bear with us. It's coming. Trust in how terrible this show is going to get. Trust me. All right, so is that it for today?
Oh, yeah.
Curse, like, I can't. I just can't.
I can't even with this.
So next time, we have Family Matters. And no, not that amazing hit sitcom from the 90s.
Did I do that?
We have...
Speaking of terrible.
We have some daddy and son issues between Junior and Big Jim. And we also have the introduction of something else very important to the Under the Dome mythos.
That chick that's been in the closet?
No.
The
monarch.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Will the monarch be crowned? Perhaps. I thought someone was going to get smacked over the head. I was like, yeah, smash her. Whoever it is, I don't care who it is. Just smash them.
So we hope you'll join us as we take a look at Thicker Than Water. That episode can't be about family.
No.
No.
They're talking about oil.
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 Honey.
They're honey. There honey. You go. Yeah. It's the only two. It's only what else is thicker than water? Nothing.
Almost like everything that's solid.
All right. So thank you again for listening and for Sherry and for Kirk. We will see you next time. And remember, keep watching.
This has been a Naked Wizard Media production. Executive producer, Carrie Kinney. For more information, visit nakedwizardmedia.com.